Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's do this. Let's power rank the power rankings. They are in. Once Monday Night Football is over, the power rankings come out the next morning around the NFL, and Seth and I each and every week at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, we look at the power rankings, and we ourselves power rank those people who are ranking the NFL teams on how good a job that they do. So I've got five of them, Seth, for purposes of this segment.
Okay.
What's so funny?
I guess do we power rank them, or do we basically just say, hey, whoever has the Texans ranked highest is number one?
That
on
might
this
end
one.
Up happening, yeah. Happening coincidentally, I would say.
Oh,
but, you know,
okay.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's happened every time, but I don't know that that's necessarily
every
the goal.
Every single time
going
we've done it.
Yeah,
so here, the worst power ranking by far is that scoundrel Pete Prisco.
Pete Prisco's fifth of the five. We have five power rankings we're using this week. CBS, in no particular order, CBS, SI.com, The Athletic, ESPN, and USA Today. And Pete Prisco, scoundrel is the right word, Seth. The nefarious Pete Prisco has the Texans ranked 19th in the NFL. Seth, he's got them behind the Jags and the Colts in the division right now. Jags 15.
Colts look pretty good.
Colts 18. Colts right ahead of him at 18. They did look good. They did look
good.
Could
the Texans have looked that good versus that Dolphins defense? It's a weird one because I feel like the Dolphins are primed to allow Nico Collins to have 270 yards receiving or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't want to get cocky on behalf of a hypothetical or anything. But we'll wait for this to play out.
Here's what he says about the Texans. Pete Prisco's a man of few words. The offense didn't do much against the Rams, with the offensive line again a problem. That unit has to be better for C.J. Stroud.
It does, yes.
Yeah, I would agree
certainly.
With
him.
Certainly,
there we go. Ariante Irisarry has to be better. Look, I'd love to see him play some left tackle more than a few snaps, but that's not the way the Texans are choosing to operate these days. So we'll see.
The team the Texans play on Monday, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Prisco has them as the fourth best team in the NFL right now. I mean, they needed a missed field goal by Younghoe Koo to avoid overtime against the Falcons, who I'm sure are not the fifth best team in his power rankings.
I think the Falcons were able to get a lot of pressure on Gardner Minshew and Baker Mayfield. Yeah. But they could have versus Gardner Minshew.
That's a little racist of you, yeah.
It's a way of, there's something about those two. There's just kind of a dirtbag quality to both of them that I continually mess them up. They both feel like a Florida type of quarterback.
Absolutely. Okay?
They grew up in Central Florida somewhere.
Yes.
So, so they got good pressure on Baker Mayfield. Apologies to Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the Texans pass rush, I think, is going to be good. Just like the Texans pass rush was really good last week. They just didn't get that much time to get to Stafford because he was getting rid of the ball so quickly. The defensive backs need to be more dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
They got and the linebackers for the Texans. They can't be biting on play action just so aggressively as they were in that game.
All right. Fourth. So Pete Prisco, fifth. Fourth, Connor Orr, SI.com. Also has the Texans 19th. He gets rated above Pete Prisco because he has a couple more sentences in here. He put in a little more effort and embedded a tweet in the Texans analysis. Here's what Connor Orr has to say about your Houston Texans. Here's my question left over from the weekend. Was the Rams defense as good as I thought, or is the C.J. Stroud hangover just lingering a bit? My guess, this is Connor Orr saying this, my guess, a lot of teams aren't going to show this Texans offensive line this much trouble. Look at how much work Stroud had to do on completions, never mind the pressures that really affected his throws. So he's leaning into, hey, the world is going to be, by and large, much easier for the Texans on Sundays than this past Sunday.
No, and honestly, the Texans at times on the inside, they did a better job, I guess, on the whole than they did last year of some of the handling some of the stunts. But they had some bad moments too. I think the Rams are going to be a better defense than they were last year. I've been saying that all off season. That's not like a big, huge, bold prediction or anything. I mean, a lot of people have been saying that. But also the week one element and Chris Shula, the defensive coordinator for the Rams, really dialing up some funky stuff. That's hard to ambush teams like that every week as the regular season goes along. So credit to the Rams and their defense for doing what they did. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was versus the Rams. Now, that's not like a ringing endorsement that you're going to win a Super Bowl or something, obviously, but I do think they're going to have some easier tests as the season goes along.
Waves of guys on that front four with the Rams, man. That was they were relentless. By the way, Connor Orr has Tampa Bay ninth. So he's a little lower than Prisco does, but Texans opponent ninth. All right, so that's number four, SI.com. Number three, as we power rank the power rankings, The Athletic, which uses their staff to put the rankings together, and they have a category each week, Seth, and the category this week for The Athletic is first impressions. What's the biggest first impression made by each of these teams? They've got the Texans ranked 17th, so a little higher than the previous two outlets that we had. The first impression The Athletic gets, Texans need help. And boy, they had the Texans 8th last week. So they had the Texans, based on losing to the Rams in a game on the road where you had the ball with 2 minutes left in the game and a chance to go in and take a lead, had Dari Ogunbowale not fumbled, they dropped them all the way to 17th from 8th. Here's what they say. First impressions, the offense needs help. The Texans made one of the surprise moves of the offseason, hiring Nick Caley as the OC to replace Bobby Slowick. The Caley era didn't exactly begin with a bang. Houston's leading receiver, rookie Jaden Higgins, had just 32 receiving yards. The Texans went 2-for-9 on third downs. The defense is great, but the offense, not a good start.
Huh, okay, well, let's take a look at somebody that's ranked higher on this power rankings. Mm-hmm. The Raiders are 20th in these power rankings.
Yeah.
But Chip Kelly, what did they say about Chip Kelly, a guy that was a candidate? Chip Kelly's offense is fun. Oh, there we go. Did anybody call Nick Caley's offense fun?
No. Yeah, the Rams.
Yeah.
The Rams thought it was a blast.
It was a fun offense.
Yeah, I love this offense.
Oh, man. What about another candidate? Now, I was not high on Cliff Kingsbury as a candidate at the time. Yeah. They didn't write anything about Cliff Kingsbury in here, but his offense has been more fun than what we've seen of the Nick Caley offense.
Dude, there's a lot of things that are more fun. Root canals.
Cliff Kingsbury would have been 2 years ago, obviously. Yeah. But now we're at that point in the season already where people are starting to think about things that might have been.
Yep. Tampa Bay 10th in the Athletic power rankings. USA Today is second in the power ranking of the power rankings. They also have Tampa Bay 10th, by the way. They have the Texans also at 17th, saying this: their defense, anchored by Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, should be one of the league's best and look the part Sunday. But how long can it compensate for an offense, one that didn't find the end zone in week one, with this many prevalent issues?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking for much of the game, much of the first half especially, was, all right, okay, let's think back historically to teams that have won a Super Bowl with an awesome defense, the Bucks, the Ravens, and not much on offense. The thing is that neither of those teams had the type of seeming talent at quarterback. Like, that's the part that's really rough, is that you're looking at, like, man, all right, if we went into this season with Trent Dilfer as our quarterback, I'd say, like, all right, yep, this is what's going to have to look like.
Yeah, right.
I'm not in the mood for it to look like that. I'm not in the mood to right now be saying, well, look, the Texans defense was good, but and this is true, they do have to clean some things up on the back end especially. But I don't want that to be the thing that has to happen for this team to have a chance, obviously.
No, you can't have a quarterback that people can have a conversation about a $60 million a year contract with a straight face about, and be some team that tries to muck it together leaning on your defense to win 17-14. It's unacceptable.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, number one, power ranking of the power rankings. ESPN, the worldwide leader, old reliable, DJ Bien-Aimé, writes for ESPN, and he wrote the synopsis for the Texans, in which they are ranked 16th. So the highest ranking the Texans have in the power ranking of the power rankings, Seth, 16th, barely in the upper half of the league.
They're an above-average football team, Sean, by
according to ESPN,
rankings.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
They're in the lower quartile of the lower quartile of the upper half. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Their category, because they, like The Athletic, do a category for each team each week, like some superlative. Best newcomer performance, they have Nick Chubb. DJ Bien-Aimé says Nick Chubb. He said Chubb ran well in his Texans debut, 60 yards on 13 carries. Compared with the other newcomers, the former All-Pro running back made a noticeable impact on the game with two runs over 10 yards, a positive EPA on 7 rushes per next-gen stats. EPA is expected points added. As the Texans continue to mesh with new OC Nick Caley's offense, having a reliable run game will ease the transition for quarterback C.J. Stroud.
The part of reliability that gets really interesting this week is, okay, can they rely on Nick Chubb to give you more of that performance when he's getting more than 13 carries? And can his body stay healthy? And there were stretches last year when he was with the Browns where he played every week before he broke his foot, and at times was getting, I want to say, into the upper teens in carries.
Yeah.
I guess that's just a huge question. Why was Nick Chubb limited to 13 carries in that game? And if, and potentially, you know, if the Rams could have gone down there at the end of the game, and they still had room for another first down.
Yeah.
You know, they might have, if they hadn't scored a touchdown, I don't know what would have happened. You know, Nick Chubb could have ended up with 11 carries in the game.
Yeah.
If the offense didn't have a realistic chance when they got back out there. So can you get him for 20 or 25 carries in a game?
It's funny because people will look at this. I'm curious what you think about my theory here. People will look at Nick Chubb and say, well, he's suffered season-ending injuries the last 2 years. Really got to manage Nick Chubb, yeah, and the wear and tear on Nick Chubb. And my thought on that is, okay, broke his foot last year. The foot's obviously healthy. Tore his knee. The knee is healthy, but maybe damaged to the extent he's never going to be the breakaway guy again. But he's clearly a healthy, yeah, NFL running back. The fact of the matter is, in terms of overall wear and tear, and when I think of a running back, I think of wear and tear from head to toe, like a car, an odometer. He's only played like 10 games in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, like the rest of his body, I would imagine, and now granted the, you know, 4 years before that or 5 years before that, I would imagine he was one of the most trafficked running backs in the league in terms of how much he was used. But over the last 2 years, he's played very little football. So I would imagine, depending on how the body heals, that he probably feels, maybe other than his foot and his knee, probably feels as good as he's felt since his rookie year, given how little he's played.
This is where it gets really interesting. Let's say hypothetically that Joe Mixon's actually feeling really good right now and they expect him to be back in week 5. At that point, I would say, all right, just go pedal to the metal. Nick Chubb, 25 carries a game.
Yeah.
Just go for it for these next 3 games. I suspect that they're not that as optimistic as that about Joe Mixon. No. I have no idea. Just that's how it feels from just the general pessimism around the situation. Yeah. They gotta try to be disciplined and work him into a workload because if he goes down now, I don't know what they do.
I don't know where Chubb, you mean?
If Chubb goes down now and Joe Mixon's not coming back, you're really in a rough position.
I was just as you were talking about that, I'm thinking, man, what would the backfield look like if they'd not signed Nick Chubb? I mean, they probably maybe would have gone and signed somebody else, yeah, you know, but they didn't sign Chubb until like right before OTAs. They signed him like June 10th.
Whatever it was with Chubb, it feels like it was probably related to Joe Mixon's situation.
I think so too. Yes,
but maybe they didn't think it was too scary with Joe Mixon, so they just wanted to, just in case, we'll take a flyer on Nick Chubb. But yeah, knowing what we know now with Joe Mixon, it's cool that it's working out with Nick Chubb, but I kind of wish they'd been more aggressive with getting somebody that was more less of a medical experiment than Nick Chubb.
Okay, you were at training camp. You were at training camp. Should Juwar Jordan get a pop at this thing right now? He's on the practice squad. He looked very spry in training camp this year.
I don't know.
I know he's tiny.
I know he's tiny, but that's the thing. He's a nice compliment to Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, behind Nick Chubb, you've got Agumba Wale and Damian Pierce as the bigger body guys that you feel like can at least be your main back.
Yeah.
And then everything beyond that is Woody Marks and Juwan Jordan are smaller guys that you're going to be a little bit limited in how much you can do if they're the main guys, and especially because they're both young. But, yeah, I would, like, honestly, yes, I don't – until Damian Pierce – I mean, Damian Pierce hurt you in multiple ways in that game.
Dude.
And I think Juwan Jordan at the – I think Juwan Jordan, A, would have had a better chance of catching that ball on that last drive, and B, could have done more with it than Damian Pierce right
now. And I hate saying this. I feel like I caveat it every time because everybody loves Damian Pierce. You're burning daylight with any snap that is centered around Damian Pierce touching the football right now. You're just burning daylight. It's a waste of time, unfortunately. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, football talk on Sports Radio 610, which we just did to great aplomb, is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King.
Oh, Tulsa King is back. We've been wondering when Tulsa King was coming back.
Tulsa King is awesome. I love Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet. He's faced some dangerous dudes, too.
They were pretty dangerous previously.
Very dangerous, yeah, but it's even more dangerous now, Seth.
He wasn't taking on your grandma's bridge club, I'll tell you that much.
Got that right. Forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season. I'm calling Amy right after this. We love Tulsa King. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
The nice thing about streaming, you know what I will not be doing is streaming it on a Sunday in week three of the NFL season.
God, no.
But I'll stream the hell of it on a Tuesday.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. Rewatch Texans, stream Tulsa King. That's the agenda come week three of the NFL season. All right, coming up next, the injury bug has hit the Texans. What is the solution for each of the positions where we just found out yesterday they're going to be dealing with stuff for a while here? We'll get to that coming up next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.